Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you tonight to the Florida Action Committee membership call for January 4th, 2024, and Happy New Year to everyone. My name is Anita, and I will be starting off the call by reminding the callers about our topic tonight. Each January, we do a year in review and set our goals for 2024. And it also gives you an opportunity to hear from most of the board members, those that are available tonight. I want to remind you of our meeting etiquette. We use first names only. And as much as we would like to, it's not that we don't want to share our last names with people, but we do have a lot of incidents where we have had threats and bullying and abuse, and it's better for us to just go ahead and stay with our first names on this public call. When you attend our meet and greets, you get to know us personally. You know who we are. Many of you have our own personal cell phone numbers and such. So, with our members, we would like to be able to share and work with you all that we can, but this is a public call. And it is being recorded. So for that purpose, we will be using first names only. I'd like to start by introducing our administrator, and that would be Cindy. And Cindy, if you can start off our call, please.
I will do that. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hi, everybody. My name is Cindy, and I'm the secretary for the Board of Directors for Florida Action Committee. Florida Action Committee's been around for 14 years now, but I've been a member for only 8 years, and I joined the board in 2020. So you don't know me much because I'm doing all the mundane things that most organizations do secretarially or administratively. So I am around keeping the glue together and trying to hold the organization together, but I'm here writing minutes and doing agendas. So I'm very happy to be a part of this organization, and certainly it's an honor to work with each and every member of the Board of Directors. And on that note, we're going to introduce Gail, the president of the Florida Action Committee.
Thank you, Cindy. Job well done, I have to say. We couldn't do what we do without keeping all of our stuff straight and tidy. Well, thank you everyone for joining. I'm Gail, the president. Many of you have met me over the years. I'm always around, up to something. Happy New Year. Thank you for participating. Thank you so much to all of my board of directors that worked tirelessly throughout the year. Keeping Florida Action Committee moving forward. I wanted to just review with you what we've accomplished and what we've been working on in 2023 and where we're going in 2024. So just bear with me. These are just a few of the highlights. Many of our directors and committee chairs have attended state and national conferences like AXSAL, NARSAL, ATSA, NACDL, and different reentry conferences and seminars that have been held throughout the state and several places around the country. I personally went to Geneva. We had a great opportunity, a very rare opportunity, to actually address issues at the international level in Geneva at the Human Rights Council. So we actually had this very rare opportunity, and thank you to our members for supporting that trip. It was eye-opening in many ways. We had a number of members fill the courtroom in Tallahassee for the first bench trial on ex post facto. We are still awaiting the judge's decision in that case, but that's one of our lawsuits that have been ongoing. We have sent out hundreds of letters, communications, and critical books like Rage to Reason, which was written by Professor Emily Horowitz. She's been one of our guest speakers as well. We included her book in educational materials that was sent out to legislators, county commissioners, some city council folks. And almost weekly, we have had an in-person membership meeting held in a different location in the state. So our membership committee and our county coordinators have been very, very busy this year, meeting members out there, bringing new members on board. And one of the things that I think is quite significant that we are in the beginning stages of, we've been working and instrumental in building a partnership with other state and national leaders of organizations, and we intend to identify, fund, and pull together a nationwide messaging campaign, just like many other movements have done, that helps them to be successful in getting the word out and the truth out, because we cannot depend on the news media and we cannot depend on the legislators to get this right. The messaging about who we are is not accurate. And one of our missions is to make sure that we get messaging out to the public that makes sense so that we can continue our big number one goal, which is abolishing this registry. It's got to go. In 2024, going forward, our goals are very much the same as our goals were in 2023, with the addition of the national messaging campaign. We've been working very hard this year and set a good foundation for reaching the goals that we set forth. We've had significant progress, but we'll be able to now, because as we've started to lay this foundation to go to focus on these things, we're able to take them to the next level. For example, seeking relief from residency restrictions for those in need of long and short-term care that are required to register. We know how difficult that is. Having physical health rehabilitation, substance abuse treatment. We're looking to even get some registry relief for some folks that suffer from aging ailments like dementia or have physical disabilities or terminal illnesses. They need to be off the register in order to have the dignity that every human should have and to get the care that they should have. We are continuing to pursue legal challenges. We actually, our lawsuits are moving forward. We filed a new lawsuit I think it was beginning of November, end of October, regarding the driver's licenses and the words predator being, sexual predator being printed on the licenses. It's a compelled speech situation. So we'll see where that goes. That's been filed. And we will continue to pursue the challenges we currently have, as well as looking into some additional potential challenges. We are training more county coordinators and developing more leadership folks around the state. Thank you again to our county coordinators and Danielle, who you'll hear more from later. Organize lobby days and events in Tallahassee and seek someone that is willing to sponsor some bills for us, and you'll hear more from Jennifer about that in a little bit. We're working on building a speakers team to deliver our message, to be able to do presentations, whether it's to councilmen or community organizations or legislators in Tallahassee or business leaders, for them to understand what these policies actually do. And again, get the truth out there. Change hearts and minds. I think that we are moving right along on all of those things. And again, creating the national campaign with other organizations. We will identify and get those funded and facilitated nationwide, whether it's going to be up on billboards or maybe we should be doing radio spots or we should be doing more print. I don't know. That's why we're looking for to develop this campaign. How do we get our messages out, just like the LGBTQ community did over time? And they were looking to finally get granted gay, you know, marriage. All of these movements, the gun lobby many years ago, it was about getting facts out there, changing people's minds by giving them all of the information, allowing them to make informed decisions rather than having it fed to them inaccurately and, you know, all of the groupthink. In any case, I would like to wrap up by saying thank you all again. Happy New Year. And I am going to introduce you to Chris. Chris is one of our newest board members. Chris is the state director for Florida Action Committee, as well as being the co-chair for the legal team and research teams. And I think he will do great. So, Chris?
Thank you. Hello, everybody. My name is Chris, and I am the state director for Florida Action Committee, and I also am our legal liaison for our legal committee. I also head our research team. Just to kind of wrap up our year, we all know that Ex Post Facto 2 in the Northern District was heard here recently in Tallahassee. We have to commend everybody who showed up and spoke up at that trial. We are still waiting for results, but hopefully we get good news soon. Our Ex Post Facto 1 case in the Southern District is waiting on the ruling for the Ex Post Facto 2. So, but it is still alive and moving. One of the goals here in 2024 is we would like to pursue more city and county municipal lawsuits. We all know that there's counties out there that have just horrendous rules on the municipal level, whether it be proximity laws, enhanced residency laws, or even as sometimes present laws. I mean, you just can't be somewhere. And the vagueness and just knowing if you're doing something right or wrong is something in our focal point for this year. So I would say if anybody feels like they've been affected by a municipal rule or law, please message info@FloridaActionCommittee.org. Another goal here in 2024 is to build a network of attorneys throughout Florida. We all come into the situation where we might need some legal help. And I think it would be a great goal for us in this new year to have a network of attorneys that specialize in our cases. Because we all know not every attorney is created equally or understands the issues that come with our population. Newly started this year, we started our research team, which is to help research cases and different things to support the legal committee and all the committees throughout the Florida Action Committee organization. We do meet every third Thursday, so if anybody that is interested in research and crunching numbers and projects of that sort, please also reach out to info@FloridaActionCommittee.org. Our goals this year is, one, research attorneys, which goes with the legal team, but also put a comprehensive list of the rules and laws that are in each city and county municipality. Depending on where you live, somewhere like Volusia might have county laws, but have 6 or 7 municipalities that have laws on top of that. So understanding what these rules and laws are and what we can and cannot do and would be a good list to have. Also, it helps us identify potential lawsuits throughout the state of Florida. Another research plan we have is to come up with a comprehensive list of emergency preparation procedures. Believe it or not, we can be human beings and law-abiding citizens and do everything right, and in the case of a natural disaster, we might not even have a place to go. So understanding where we can go and the routes we have could be very beneficial in an emergency. As we all know, this last year, or a little over a year, we've had 2 major hurricanes to hit Florida, Ian and Idalia, and that's a big thing people would call and be like, hey, can I go to a shelter? And that is different between each county, each place, Some counties you can go, some counties have a jail, some counties have rules where you have to identify yourself and be separated. So that is some of our plans into this new year. The other thing is we're researching stings. Part of our ex post facto 2 trial, FDLE basically said that no one's ever been arrested for failure to register without giving a chance to correct the problem. Or I'm not sure if that's exactly how it was worded, but verbatim. But for me to paraphrase it, how many stings happen every year where they show up, oh, you messed up, you're going to jail. So that is the stings that happen throughout the state of Florida is another research project that we have going. And last, this year we started a men's group that meets every fourth Thursday for people that are looking for support, encouragement, life-building skills. Just basically a general place where you can kind of vent and talk to other people that are in likewise situations. Also, email info@FloridaActionCommittee.org if you're interested in that group. And then for future legal and research stuff, we will be putting a special meeting together on legal, so stay tuned for that, more than likely in the month of April. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce Jennifer, which is another new board member this year with us, who is our chair of our legislative team and our co-chair of membership. And she's a badass. So, Jennifer, it's on you.
Thank you, Chris. Welcome, everybody, and Happy New Year. It's going to be a great year. And I've been a member of Florida Action Committee for 4 years now, and I've gone from county coordinator to regional coordinator to the board of directors, where I have been assisting Anita with membership, and I will be taking over chairing the legislative team, where we will continue to be assisted by Gail, our legislative guru. And I just wanted to welcome everybody to feel free to join the legislative team this year. If you will, you're also welcome to email at the info at FloridaActionCommittee.org. And we also have our 800 number that you can call, which is it, and use option 1. 833-273-7325 about anything that you hear about tonight. You're welcome to email us or give us a call, and we will forward it to the appropriate person to get back to you. We are going to start the legislative team calls next Wednesday, and I will be having those calls every other Wednesday, every 2 weeks throughout the legislative session. The legislative session does begin next Tuesday, January 9th, and it concludes on Friday, March 8th. And then after that, we will continue the legislative calls on a regular basis. So if you're on the legislative team already, you've received an email from me. If you're interested in joining the legislative team, please contact us at one of those options with the email or the phone number. Or you can also email me at jennifer@floridaactioncommittee.org. I'm looking forward to a great year, and we have a lot of challenges ahead of us in the legislative team. So I do hope that I will be talking with a lot of you next Wednesday night, and I look forward to the work that we have ahead of us. I am also going to share with you a little bit about our next chair, which is Sarah, our education chair, and she was not able to be with us tonight. And Sarah is working on education, and it goes back to what Gail was saying about getting the facts out there. You know, the information that's out there we often find is incorrect, and frequently, especially with county commissioners and city commissioners, we find that the information that they are putting out there to extend residency restrictions or other rules are incorrect. And Sarah has been doing a fabulous job with getting that information out to them and connecting it with the professionals that support our community. For instance, she has sent out the books Rage to Reason to legislators and commissioners. Introduce Barbara. She is our outreach director and founder of Justice Transition. I apologize.
Thank you for this opportunity to share with you this evening what outreach has been accomplishing for this year. And I want to thank you all for being on the call tonight and all of my other board members that are here and the sharing that is going on. And we have really stepped up our game considerably with all of the new people who are participating in Justice Transitions as well in Florida Action Committee. The outreach for Florida Action Committee is a sister arm of Justice Transitions. We focus our energies and our funding on the elderly, the indigent, and the disabled in our community and those that are at risk. In our annual review and our annual report, NIDA has provided there are some stipulated ways of how we have done those things in this last year in helping individuals. We've helped them pay for their classes. We've helped them pay for different needs that they have upon reentry and facilitating transportation for them and helping them meet with their requirements for probation so that there are just small technical violations that don't put individuals back in jail just simply because they might need some assistance or they might need just a little bit of financial assistance to make those things happen. The biggest focus with Justice Transitions this year has been our support house that we've been fostering the development of now for 2 years, and we hope to see it be a model for more programs that will do shared living arrangements for the elderly. That's going to provide those in-home care and case management that they need to remain in their homes in their old age. And it is a passion of the heart to be able to do this kind of work. It is very intensive, and there are no situations out there that we have that are really attuned to the resident, to registered citizens and the needs that they have as they age, because we continue to have to deal with the registry. We continue to have to deal with sometimes probation and all the time the spot units. And as you age, these things are very easy to slip through the cracks. So these are the things that in training and setting up the model for these support living arrangements, the people that would be on staff there are being trained to these things. It's not something that your average caseworker or your average social worker has the knowledge of, but we're trying to put together, and it is our goal this year to produce manuals so that individuals who want to help provide this kind of care in Florida here while we're in the interim and we don't have any care for our it's very difficult to find that nursing home care or that rehab care for the elderly and ALFs that they can live in because of residency restrictions. But there's also the necessary needs for those that may need some type of mental health assistance and where they can live. And our goal is to educate those social workers. And this past year, we've had some 178 contacts from different hospitals and social workers, and we continue to educate them and inform them and ask them to call their legislators and know the difficulties that they are having in placing individuals who have to remain languishing in the hospital and not receiving the care that they need. We have a graying community of our registered citizens. The longer, of course, our registry is in existence, those people that are on there, because we stay on for life in most situations, people are going to age and they're going to need this kind of care. So it has been a passion of mine, and we look to find other like individuals in the community and within our own population. We have been so blessed because 100% of our funding comes from our population. We with the situation that we have now, but what we're really praying for and really want to see happen in this next year and the years to come is that those in the powers that be will be able to acknowledge the fact that this is something that we have to do something about. We have to provide that funding for these individuals that are indigent and cannot get the care that they need. And anyone in our community that would like to assist Justice Transitions or assist with outreach, please reach out to me, BarbS@thefloridaactioncommittee.org. And let me know if you know of anyone who has housing and they're willing, because sometimes, as we know, housing is a difficult thing for us to find, and finding landlords that will rent to our two registered citizens. And it's very difficult when you're having to also provide the care for those that are elderly. So it needs that case management wrapped around it. But we can set this model up for those that would be interested and show them how it can become a situation where they might even have a return on their investment, but they would be investing in our community, which is the major impact that we have. We also, as we're fostering the developments of these, some of our homes, of course, are for the indigent and those who would be homeless. Otherwise, they would be living out under a viaduct or a bridge, or they may even be languishing in the woods, and they need the kind of care. So anytime that you have any type of donations that you want to contribute, Justice Transitions is a 501c3, and however tax deductible your donations are to you and your situation, we are a charitable organization and accept funding for those things, and would love to have you contact us and let us know about funding, or if you are, if you are an investor or a real estate person or someone who owns property and you would be interested in finding out about doing shared living arrangements for the elderly, please do give us a contact. Our major focus this year, along with legislation, with our legislation committee, is to get in touch with all of these legislators in the Children and Families and Elder Affairs Committee this year. And I pray that we may find a champion that will foster the development of those waivers so that we can get compassionate waivers for individuals who need to go into skilled nursing homes, because establishing a skilled nursing home situation for registered citizens is the funding is just astronomical for something to just start a nursing home. But for our individuals, they just are more and more are not allowed to be in those situations, but we need them. And we want to pressure the powers that be to see this fact and to assist us with some type of relief. And of course, our ex post facto case will help those that have previously been sentenced, and prayerfully we are going to have that win. But today we have people and we have human suffering, and that's what the basic principle behind our outreach program and Justice Transition is, to help relieve that type of human suffering. So thank you for your time this evening, and I am now going to introduce our next speaker, who would be Casey, and he is our IT expert, and without, we would not have all of the information to get out to you and our webmaster and our website, and I turn it over to you, Casey.
Thanks, Anita, and thanks, Barb. Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. Just want to thank everyone here for being an active participant and a member of FAC. My name is Casey. I'm part of the team that supports the technology that FAC employs for day-to-day operation. At the center of our tech platform is probably our website, which is quite active with 266 published posts and 5,529 published comments in 2023. Our web presence is vital to our mission because it connects our population, it keeps us all informed, and when the public, lawmakers, judges, researchers, etc. are all looking for information regarding the registry, we definitely prefer they find our information, which is full of facts and the cold, hard reality of why the registry is wrong, morally and constitutionally, rather than the inflammatory myths and false information, which there's plenty of that out there as well. So each time FAC publishes a post, one of our volunteers, you know, creates and publishes a post, it gets automatically shared on the FAC Facebook account to help followers stay up to date right in their Facebook feed. So as well, it also, by being in there in their social media stream, it also encourages them to share, which is important. On that note, we also feature share buttons across the site to encourage sharing from all visitors who happen to be on our site. The more that FAC content is shared across the web, the more credibility we gain in the public and with social media and search engine platforms. If getting our views, our information, which is the truth, you know, we don't spread myths like a lot of our opponents do. If that's important, getting that out to the public is important, then the importance of sharing and reaching audiences online is crucial for us. Shout out to the FAC YouTube channel, which started 2023 with an already solid and growing presence and continue to be a vital component of our campaign to spread truth. As of right now, we're not producing much content in-house, but are instead at a stage of primarily aggregating and publishing content, which is available in distant corners of the web already, such as town hall meetings, you know, buried in small city government websites, etc., but are not easily found, or our issues are kind of buried in the larger scope of the content. You might have, you know, videos that are 6 hours long, and, you know, our issue comprises 20 minutes of it. Well, that's what our YouTube channel is for kind of aggregating that all together and making it convenient and easy. We do have a volunteer who is successfully building that channel up. It tells the facts and reality of the registry in just a single convenient place. That's what it's there for. And to make sure we have that content forever, whereas it could be lost if we left it up to government websites and whatnot. FAC also began experimenting with digital billboards last year. A site was created with a short video that plays automatically upon visiting the site. The video displays some of the myth-busting facts about the registry. Because we kept our budget extremely low, we had minimal exposure on the digital billboards we selected, which limited the time our ad was displayed each day. So these are digital billboards that rotate ads, and, you know, based on what you pay is sort of how much time you get on the screen. We had the minimum amount we could do. Despite the small budget, the site still managed to be viewed by 99 unique visitors over the year. That may not seem like a lot, but that means that of all the people who saw the billboard blip in that limited amount of time, 99 actually followed up by visiting the site. All right, so that's 99 people, potentially just uninformed public, could be a lawmaker even, you know, who knows, that was exposed to a little bit of the truth, and maybe that plants a seed, and that seed could grow and spread. Finally, last year we added new volunteers for producing content on the website and moderating comments. This was a much-needed improvement in 2023 that hasn't had much focus in years past. It's really hard to get volunteers, you know, when we're already limited in our capacity with our current volunteers, it's hard to bring in new people, evaluate, you know, them as a volunteer, make sure that, you know, they understand what they're supposed to do and all that. But we now have multiple active volunteers who regularly create content. We have volunteers who draft and publish that content onto the website. So there's sort of a division of labor that's happening and sort of a specialization. That's what's going to help us grow sort of organically. And we have a dedicated volunteer for moderating all comments coming through the website. So we have all these different things that used to kind of fall to one person that has now been distributed around to multiple people. So, you know, one person isn't getting burdened too much with everything, and we have peer review processes that help us make sure we're not making mistakes. And everybody gets to play a little part instead of one person playing a huge part. And I think that's important. So while this was a significant and much needed improvement, we still need more volunteers in this area and always looking to add people. So don't be afraid to raise your hand. Just before I sign off, a couple of fun stats. Our website last year got 75,100 clicks from Google. That means someone searched in Google for something and found us. Total impressions, which is just a, you know, it's a tech term that basically means how many times did we show up on Google's result page, the first page, or a page that was viewed, I should say. And that was 1.42 million times that our website was displayed in results. These are all free displays. We're not paying for ads on Google. So that's good, and that's because we have a solid site that's getting shared around. Google knows we're legitimate. That's important. The most popular page of the year that was clicked in through Google was the residency restrictions by state for persons required to register as sex offenders. So that kind of clues us into how we're being found by the general public. Our top queries, aside from people just searching for Florida Action Committee, which was a majority of it, the next biggest search was for residency restriction information. After that, it was sex offender reform in Florida. So that's what people are looking for. Most of our viewers are mobile, 55,000. Desktop came in at 18,000, and tablet. These are unique users, by the way. And tablets came in at 1,600. And just real quick, just this last month, December, the final month of the year last year, we had about 5,500 click-throughs from Google. So with that, I am going to pass on to Anita. She's our Director of Operations and co-chair of the membership team. She spends a ton of time and effort for FAC. She is a hustler when it comes to our movement, a big player, and I really appreciate everything she does, and I will hand it over to her. Thanks, Anita.
Thank you, Casey. As you said, I do wear two hats, at least at one time, Director of Operations and Co-Chair of Membership. And let me just explain a little bit about how that fits together. What happens in operations is completely dependent on the support from members, whether that's financial, monetary support, or their time. So let's start with membership. I'm still getting a little feedback here. Let's start with membership. Everyone knows we have 67 counties here in Florida. And we have taken the state of Florida and divided it into 8 regions. We have 4 regional directors. We need 4 more just to handle the groups of counties that they have. We have approximately 40 active county coordinators taking care of being the eyes and ears for their county. Now, those 40 individuals represent 24 counties. That means that there are approximately still 43 counties that really do not have a dedicated representative. So that area is being shared by all of the other surrounding county coordinators. We need help. We need a lot more help. We have got a lot more chairs to fill. just to let you know a little bit more about membership, we currently have 3,185 members on our roster. 3,185 members. 456 of those individuals are our donors. We are receiving funds either on a monthly basis or an occasional basis from 456 unique people. That's what the number was in 2023. Of that number, approximately half of them are recurring. They've set up some monthly donation, whether it's $5, $10, whatever it is. The average is $16 a month from those donors. So we know that out of our 3,185 members, 2,729 of them are not able to give financially or choose not to at this time. but we ask that you give of your time. Get involved in some way. Again, you know, we need assistance. All of what you're hearing tonight doesn't happen with just a few people. And we are limited even in what we're doing. We want to do so much more if we can continue to grow our teams in all of these areas. I want to point out that we will be starting a training session for new county coordinators. We train you. We give you the tools. We support you. We are with you. We are there at the meetings. We are there assisting you in every way that we can because we work as a team. We don't leave anybody alone to do this. So please consider being part of our team. It's very rewarding to and it's very educational for everyone as well. So if you can help represent us and meet us, at least help us with our advocacy needs, that is as valuable as your financial donations. I want to point out that even given the donations that we received this year, we did not meet our goals. So what does that mean? That means that some of the things that we had planned for 2024 may need to scale back. Or, you know, hopefully we'll be able to recover with additional funding if we can. But we do not spend what we don't have. So, again, you know, we're just a little short of our goal for general funds, which helps us go to these conferences, do the mail outs, provide educational materials and such. What is donated to our legal challenges goes directly to that legal challenge. It is not used in any way for a lot of what you're hearing tonight on the accomplishments that we've been able to do for you, for FAC, and our members. So, again, taking a look at the numbers, I really appreciate our contributors that put out the statistics for the registry. Even though we know some of the information on the registry is not accurate, it's not 100% accurate, we know that, but it is giving you an idea of what the public is seeing in terms of numbers. It leaves about 29,000 individuals that are here in our communities. They're either on probation or they're released and required to register. 29,000 individuals, this is who we're trying to reach. We have 3,185, you know, just a little bit more than 10% of the individuals out there need to know that FAC exists. And one of the ways we do this is through our meet and greets. We try to hold something in your region, in your general area, every single weekend. There's something going on, or at least once a quarter, there's something going on in your area. Please take advantage of that and come and meet the other individuals that are members or on the board or are on your coordinator team. We have an event calendar that is out on our site that will give you the contacts to RSVP if you plan to attend so that they can provide you with the location or any other details of that meeting. I really encourage you to come. We often have guest speakers there as well. So, in conclusion, again, I just want to remind you that nothing happens without our members, without your involvement, whether it's financial or time-wise. And a lot of people will say they're hesitant to get involved for one reason or another. And for that reason, we have a dynamic person on our team, Danielle, who is there to be the advocacy director, who is there to guide you and tell you her own story of involvement and such. So at this time, I would like to turn the call over to Danielle, our state director of advocacy.
Good evening, everyone. And thank you, Anita. And I want to thank my fellow board members. It's an incredible honor to be a part of this Florida Action Committee team. I have been a member since 2013. I became a county coordinator in 2021. I became a regional coordinator for the Southeast region of the state in 2022, and I joined the board just this year in 2023. I'm not going to spend too much time on things that I accomplished in 2023. Gail touched on some of them, and Anita touched on some of them. I attended three of those national conferences. I attended 11 meet and greets in 10 counties. And met a lot of you, and I hope to meet a lot more. But I really want to talk about what I want to do in 2024, and that will be work closely with the legislative and legal teams, who you already heard from, Jennifer and Chris. We're like the three legs of a three-legged stool, and I want to help those teams take the Florida Action Committee to the next level. My primary focus in my role as advocacy director is to energize members, and I'll be bringing the encouragement, tips, and tools directly to members to fight the proposed state laws and county ordinances that negatively impact our community and laws that are passed that strip us of our constitutional rights. Every member and advocate is how we fight and win. And my job is to dramatically increase the number of active members. We don't have volunteers. We have active members by making active advocacy accessible, showing members that you can make a difference by doing what you can, when you can, because anybody can do it. And if we want change, everybody must do it. And I help people find their way. My goals are to provide every single member with a single-page contact information of your county council and state lawmakers' contact information. And it has a district map. This information has been provided to all my counties in my region and some others, so that you can identify who represents you in the state legislature and encourage you by offering these tools, tips, and tutorials on how to reach out to your lawmakers. Make your voices heard in response to calls to action when issues are urgent around the state and need our attention, and to voice our opposition to proposed laws that negatively impact persons on the registry and your families. I want to facilitate at least one Florida Action Committee member, one member at least, to attend every county council meeting, either in person or by watching it live on the county website or on YouTube in every county of the state. And you heard Anita say that some of our counties don't have any leadership, but I think we can achieve this so that we can listen for proposed ordinances that will negatively impact the persons on the registry and their families, so that we can inform FAC leadership, so we can mobilize the entire membership to oppose those laws before they become passed, before they impact us. We have the ability to do this. We have learned that what is passed in one county is often replicated in another county, and then another, and then another. We need to be present at all times where and when laws are proposed, be a part of the discussion and the decision making every time and all the time. That's how we make a difference for ourselves. Florida Action Committee is only as strong as its members. And we have a saying that we can't do it all and we can't do it alone. And that is so true. So I will be personally encouraging members interested in taking it to the next level to join me forming leadership teams in your county. There are, as Anita said, currently several counties without Florida Action Committee leadership. And as Anita said, we're there for you. I personally mentor the leadership teams in my region, which is Southeast Florida. We don't do it by ourselves. We don't do what we don't do well. I will also personally encourage members to join Jennifer's legislative team to work to bring our voices and perspective directly to lawmakers during the legislative session, and or encourage members interested in participating in the lawsuits challenging the existing laws by assisting in evidence gathering or being a plaintiff in the lawsuit in Chris's legal team. There are hundreds of other ways. There are as many ways as there are unique members to be active in your organization. Also in 2023, I founded a group called Shine Voices. And the SHINE stands for Sisters, Healing Injustice, Networking for Empowerment. And Voices, which is the speaking arm of the group, stands for Victory Over Injustice, Courageous, Empowering Sisters. This is a group of exclusively women forced to register. And we are supporting and elevating each other in our personal development and advocacy for women forced to register, as well as all persons forced to register. We started in July of 2023. We meet every other Monday in the evening. And it's been an incredible experience for me to be associated with these amazing women. We've accomplished many things, but I'm very proud to announce that we have already arranged 3 speaking presentations, engagements, and these are national, in 2024. I would refer you back to the previous mentioned websites and phone numbers if there are women in our audience tonight or other members who know a woman forced to register who might be interested. And with that, I would like to send it back to Anita to do our conclusion. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Danelle, and all of our board members. We have still have some open seats, even on our board. But if you'd like to start by just getting involved as a representative in your county, we can help you do that. If you want to represent multiple counties, that is a regional coordinator. We need help there. And then, of course, again, we have open seats on our board. We're specifically looking for someone who can take over fundraising so that, you know, we don't need to constantly ask our body of members for donations, that we are receiving donations in many other ways. So that's very, very important. I want to share again our contact information, so I hope you have your pen and pencil ready. If you'd like to reach us by email, you can email info@floridaactioncommittee.org, or you can call 833-273-7325. Option 1 will go directly to membership, specifically Jennifer or myself, and we'll be able to direct your request to the appropriate person. I am very confident that 2024 is going to be an amazing and productive year. It's already just 4 days into the year, and you can hear what's happening. You know, your board and your team of county coordinators and active members have never stopped. We took a short break for the holidays, but we're back at it already. I want to remind you that there are meet and greets that will be starting up. Check our event calendar on the FAC site. We have a family support group that meets on the second Saturday of every month. This is generally facilitated by a qualified practitioner. If you are a family member, not a person that's required or that's forced to register, and you would like some support, contact us so that we can get you involved with the family support call. We also have our men's group. We also have our women's group. And we are interested in starting more groups. So on our website today, we reminded you that there are focus groups out there. This is a way of us bringing members with that share interests together so that we can find out more. We can participate in more activities. For example, our veterans, our LGBT community, our youthful offenders, and so forth. There's so many. And if there's a particular group that you would like to be involved in and you don't see it out there, let us know. We are just looking for people that will help facilitate these groups, and they are the opportunities for you are unlimited to get involved. And each time and every person that gets involved, FAC gets stronger and makes more and more progress. So I'm going to open it up once more to the board. And as I'm doing that, I'm going to remind you that next Thursday, the second Thursday of the month, on this same number, we have what we call a new member orientation call. But it's not just for new members. Anyone can call in. That's your opportunity to ask questions, learn more about the organization, find out how to get involved, find out what's going on in your community. So we do provide that on the second Thursday of the month. Okay, I want to thank you all. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. And if you have any questions, would like more information, join us next Thursday at this same time on this same call, phone number, or contact us at 833-273-7325, option one, or info@floridaactioncommittee.org. With that, I'm going to end the recording.